Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, will you? And I want to speak to you as we close out this series on management 101. We're in this series 101, and we've been looking at foundational issues. Thanks, guys. Perfect. Man alive. You guys did that well. 5, 2, 1. Awesome. Thanks. Want to, Lottie Tipton, stand, would you? Ed Duty's mother-in-law and Christy's mom, and she turned 80 yesterday, and congratulate her to turn 80 years old. Wonderful. She looks amazing. Joy of the Lord is her strength, she said. But we've been in this series 101. And we've been looking at the foundational elements of our life. We started out with just following 101. And then we looked at the idea of discipleship. We looked at the Spirit-filled life 101. We looked a couple weeks ago at the idea of speech 101. And we looked last week at the idea of trusting 101. That the Lord works all things together for the good of those that love Him and are called according to His purposes. Kett family. We're glad you're here today. Sister Kett, thank you for cheering me on in my ministry as well. I bless you. But I want to speak to you about 101 management today. Use it or lose it. If we were to conduct a poll and ask what's the most popular parable that people know, without a doubt, I would say, people would say the prodigal son. Charles Dickens said that the prodigal son parable is the greatest short story that's ever been told. But I would also say that if you were to ask pastors like me or Christian workers like you, what is the most effective or practical parable? Most Christian leaders would say the parable that we're going to look at today. It's often called the parable of the talents. Say talents. Say talents one more time. It's the parable of the talents. And it's a powerful parable that we're going to study today about how you and I can multiply your God-given potential. Each and every one of you are given potential today. When you understand this truth that we're going to talk about today, it's marvelous. Just how the Lord can take a little potential and it can be transformed into a huge possibility for the glory of God. Before we read the story, I want to share a true story that demonstrates, I believe, this parable. Around the turn of the 20th century, so the early 1900s, there was a lady that you see her picture on the screen. Her name was Martha Barry. And Martha Barry had a passion to teach and to train children in the northern Georgia community. They had no access to education. They had no books, no building, no money. So she started to help these needy children out with a Sunday school program. And she did it in an old abandoned church. Catch the name of this town. In Possum Trot, Georgia. How about that for a name? And this weekly class turned into a daily class. She later opened up a boarding school for boys and girls. Even though she only had 5 boarders, she saw the need and the, say, potential. The school was struggling for money. So Martha Barry traveled to Detroit to ask a multimillionaire in Ed and I's hometown of Dearborn. She went to Henry Ford to make a donation to expand her school. She boldly asked Henry Ford to donate $1 million back in the early 1900s. Henry Ford was tired of listening to requests for money. He reached in his pocket and said, "Here's a dime. That's all the money I have in my pocket, but you can have it." Martha Barry could have been insulted. She could have been discouraged. She could have just given up and quit. But instead, she used Ford's dime to buy seeds to plant a peanut crop. She used the first harvest to plant more peanuts. And Martha Barry faithfully sent Henry Ford detailed accountings of each year's harvest. Ford was so impressed that he finally visited the Barry School and eventually donated that $1 million. He went on to build the Ford buildings on campus, a cluster of Gothic buildings, and Martha Barry died in 1942, but because of good management, Barry College near Rome, Georgia, still lives on today. It's a private four-year college with about 1,700 students enrolled, and it's the largest campus of any college in the world, 28,000 acres. And the Ford Foundation just recently gave Barry College another grant of $9.4 million. What an amazing story about a woman who took a dime and multiplied it into a dream of teaching young children. What am I doing? What are you doing with what God has given you? Would you stand with me for the reading of the word today? And I'm in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Let me pick up at verse number 14, if I can. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, say on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants, returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted with me 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share the master's happiness. The one with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted with me 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. The master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What a story on a Labor Day weekend about labor. Labor for the glory of God. Would you, where you stand, just lift your hands on the Lord and just say, Lord, would you anoint your word? Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts and our lives in these next few moments? People didn't come to hear the Ketts from, Lord, outside of this community. Lottie Tipton and others didn't come to hear a man. They came to hear a word from you. So, Lord, would you speak to people clearly by the power of your Spirit? And, Lord, if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love. I commit this time to you, and I thank you in advance for what you're going to accomplish in Jesus' mighty and glorious and awesome name. And all God's people would say, amen. Before you're seated, I want you to see this, and I want to help you. So before we get going, I want you to understand the background of the story, and then we'll look to the word, okay? Keep this in the back of your mind you see a one container, you say, well, Brad, those really aren't very fancy containers. I mean, come on, a couple of pitchers from the church kitchen and kind of a potted plant. I did that purposely because here's what the word says, that he hides this treasure in jars of clay. So it's really not about us anyway, right? It's about the treasure that's inside of us. It's all about the glory of God. So one might be a little bit better, but for the most part, we're all just people on a journey, right? So I've got Jim listed here, and I've got 5 talents here. So I'm going to put in, I went to the bank yesterday and got, they don't want to give coins away, so that was out of the question, but I got some crisp $1 bills. You're like, Brad, that's not a whole lot. But let each one of these bills, $1 bills, represent a talent, say talent. Now, talent, it might be obscure to some of you, but a talent in that day was about 20 years' wage, okay? So each talent, they have been entrusted a lot. Each year, each talent is a 20 years' wage. Let's round off. It might be high or low, but for sake of illustration, Bernie, it's great to see you too. You bless me, buddy, you and Cindy. Forgive me, all these people are coming back. He had a heart attack, heart stint, and man, I'm glad to see you. You made my day. But for sake of discussion today, let's say a year's wage was $50,000. 20 years' wages at $50,000, each one of these is $1 million. Is that my math right there? Well, whether you know it or not, it was right, all right? All right, so $5 million. The next guy got $2 million, and one guy got $1 million. Everybody with me, say amen. Jim, when you hear me refer to Jim, he's going to be the 5-talent guy with $5 million. Joe is going to be the two with, or John, excuse me. Joe is $1 million and John is $2 million, okay? 2-talent guy. Now, I want you to hear me. Here's the story, the background. In that day, people that were very, very wealthy, they would put a steward, a manager, in charge of their property. They would not go away just for a weekend. The picture that Jesus is giving, they might go away for at least a year, maybe 2 years, maybe 10 years. It was going to be an extended time, but they were each given serious, you got to say that, don't you? 20 years away, each one of them were given serious resources. Not just the scrimp by, but the fact of the matter is, they were given resources. Now, here's one more idea, and this goes to what we're even seeing in the nation, but this isn't a political statement, so everybody say amen. The Lord wasn't a socialist. He didn't give each one the same amount. You know what? He gave each one an amount reflecting their potential. 5, 2, 1. Now you can be seated. The amount, jot this in your notes, right? The amount given to each manager was reflective of their potential. The master took off on his journey, and the servants, Jim, John, and Joe, they begin to work. He takes the 5, Jim does, the 5 talents that he's been given, and he starts investigating ways to invest. He noticed that, I like what David Dykes, the illustration he uses. He noticed people crossing the Jordan that had to walk a long way out of their path, maybe 10 miles out of the way. So he develops, Jim does, a ferry system to be able to help people get across the Jordan at a quicker place instead of having to walk way out of the line. John takes his 2 coins and he buys a goat, and he fed that goat and sold the goat's milk. When the goat was fully grown, you know what? John sold it and got twice what he had paid for it. Joe, with the 1 talent, on the other hand, is lazy, and he thought the master was a cruel man, so he's afraid of losing the money, so he goes out and digs a hole, hides the talent, the $1 million, And he wants to play it safe. He's a play it safe type of guy. We'll leave Jim, John, and Joe for now and come back to them later, okay? But those three containers represent our lives. Each of us have been given resources from God. And there are four truths that I want us to look at on this Labor Day weekend that challenge us to embrace the truths. And if you'll do this, I submit to you, you'll be able to see God take your God-given potential and multiply it for His glory. Truth number one is this. I steward, say steward. Steward is an old English word with the picture. If you ever hear of a family named Stuart, most likely they were a manager of an estate in the old English mindset. It's the idea of management. I steward God's supplies. Nothing is truly mine. Look what Jesus said. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. Remember the picture? The guy, the master's leaving, and he gives resources to those managers, those stewards, not a pittance, a scrimp by, but he invests within them. Whenever I see that idea of talent, you know what? It isn't solely meaning about money. You know what? I think of Kelly Clarkson on American Idol. Or I think of Dino Katsanakis, the Christian Liberace on keyboards. Or I think of Phil Keggy on the guitar as a Christian guitarist. Or Eddie Van Halen from Van Halen days, if you will. Or I'm a sports guy, so I think of Michael Jordan soaring through the air. They are talented people. And for many years, I used to think that the point of the parable was that God gave some people more talent than others. But the fact of the matter is, it's about managing money. Now, hold on. I'm not going to talk about money today. The talent was a representative of an investment. So the master placed a lot of trust in his servants. That's what I want you to gather. To give them a large amount of money or representation of gifts to manage. Now, here's the fact. It's not just money that the Lord gives us. God's given to all of us. There's not one person within the sound of my voice that has not been given resources to manage for the glory of God. It might be your health. It might be your time. It might be your talent. It might be energies. It might be abilities. It might be influence. It might be relationships. But God has placed resources for you in your life to manage. And this is not about just money management. Really, what it's about is life management. But it all starts, here it is. It all starts, Bright, by acknowledging that everything that we have is a gift from God. Everything that we have is a gift from God. I don't own it. I just manage it. And here are a few verses. Look at Deuteronomy 10. To the Lord God, your God, belong the heavens, even the highest heaven, the earth and everything in it. Psalm 50, 11 and 12. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. The world is mine, and all that is in it. Haggai 2:8. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. As I was prepping for this message, you know what, it got in my spirit. And I decided to proclaim the truth. You know what, I was sitting there. I did what a friend from Texas did. And he said, you know what, Brad, I just encourage you. You know what, you're sitting in God's house, sitting in God's chair, looking out God's window in my study, at God's trees and God's garden on US 23 that is God's. You know what? I'm using God's brains and God's hands to even type these words on God's keyboard, on God's computer. Later, I'm going to get in God's car and drive on God's roads and visit some of God's people. And you know what? It was actually quite liberating for me to pray that way. Why don't you try it with me? Let's do it, shall we? Say it with me. I woke up this morning in God's house. I ate God's food for breakfast. I used God's soap to clean up. I rode in God's car to God's church. I'm breathing God's air. I don't own a thing. God owns it all. How many of you can say amen to that? It's all His. God has given us stewardship over everything that is His. None of it is truly mine. Second truth is this. There's coming a day when we'll face a divine review. Look what the word says in verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Jesus said the master was gone for a long time. How long it was, we don't know. But look at me, right? There's multiple layers of this picture and this parable. The Lord's returning. I want you to know that. Make no mistake about it. The Lord's returning. And He's going to call His children. If you know Jesus as Lord, lift your hand. Awesome. Here's the deal. You know what the Bible tells us? That we're not talking about the great white throne judgment where people are judged to be saved or not saved, whether their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're talking about the Bema judgment. It's a picture that we see in Paul's writings, but we see Jesus referring to here. Almost in your mind's eye, think of those Olympic athletes. The gold medalist gets on the top platform, the silver medal winner on the next platform next to him or her, and then the bronze. But they're all receiving their rewards. We're going to stand before the Lord. Every one of us that know Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Word tells us that we're going to give an account. And this is the story not only about life management, it's a story about the Lord's return. And you're going to be received by the Lord, whether you go by way of the grave or by His return. If you know Jesus, you're going to have to give an account for what you did with the giftings that He placed within you. He'll return, and you and I will face a divine financial, will face an audit on our talents that we've used for the glory of God. Much similar to a financial review. But it won't be just for our finances, it'll be for everything. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says this, "So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." I really tried to resist in great part using that word stewardship and more management in the title, because whenever you talk about stewardship, people immediately think, oh, he's asking for money, and I'm not. I chose management in the title, Brighton, because how we manage God's money and God's resources is an indicator, in great part, how we'll manage other things, but not exclusively. Ron Blue is a financial consultant. If you want good money management skills, similar to Dave Ramsey's materials, he speaks about financial management from a biblical perspective. But he wrote these words. Look at it on the screen. You can't fake stewardship. Your checkbook or credit card statement reveals all that you really believe about stewardship. Your checkbook reveals your goals, your priorities, your convictions, relationships, and even the use of your time. A person who has been a Christian even for a short while can fake prayer, Bible study, evangelism, and going to church, and so on, but he can't fake what his, should I say, or hers checkbook reveals. Nobody here wants to be audited by the IRS, right? But that's part of life. It's a hassle to produce your tax returns and your canceled checks and your bank statements, but the IRS requires that at times in order to create a money trail for how much money you've earned and how much tax you owe. That's just how life is. Now, look up here a second. I want to tell you something you already know, right? An audit doesn't have to be a scary thing unless you haven't paid your taxes, right? I've heard of people that have been audited, and the IRS says, you know what? You overpaid on your taxes. Here's a refund. Jim and John, 5 talent and 2 talent guys, right? The fact of the matter is, they enjoyed reporting to the master. I got 5 more. I got 2 more. How many of you know they were excited that the master called on them to account? Joe's audit wasn't fun at all. One day God is going to ask each of us, Brad Trask, what did you do with what I gave you? What will you and I show for our management? Thirdly is this. Your opinion of God will determine how you utilize his supplies. You say, what do you mean, Brad? You know what is interesting? If you count up the words in verses 24 and 25, it's interesting. Joe here, remember? One talent, Joe. Joe takes 37 words explaining why he did nothing. He said, Master, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. He blamed his failure on his master's hard character. What kind of person harvests where they don't plant? Think about it. Only a dishonest cheat does that. The master called him wicked and lazy. If you had asked Joe to describe his master, he probably would have said, well, he's wicked, he's lazy, he wants us to do all the work. You know what? He tries to get us to accomplish everything for him. The lazy servant insulted the character of his master. Think of that. He allowed his view of the master to justify his failure. Have you noticed that? Have you ever noticed this in life? I had this happen to me in a setting just this past week. Have you ever noticed how people, when they fail, you know what? It's never their fault. They love to push, kick the can down the road, if you will. But consider the first two servants viewed the master as with the same purview, if you will. Jim and John considered their master to be a good businessman who knew how to invest money for a good return. They followed the example of their master and turned their potential into profit. The master said, well done, good and faithful servants. If you had asked Jim and John, I promise you, they would have said their master was a good and faithful man. You say, what? Why is this a big deal, Pastor? It's important that you understand that you have a merciful God, a loving God, a generous God, and you've got to, if you don't have that mindset, you've got to ask the Lord to give you a mind transformation. Look what A.W. Tozer said. He said, what we think about God is the most important thing about us. If we view God as a tyrant, we'll filter everything through that lens. And some of you are here today and you're secretly angry because you think that God did something wrong or he didn't do something that you think he should have. And as a result, your view of him is skewed. And as a result, you refuse to serve him with everything that he's given you. And we blame God, even we end up bearing the blessings that he's given to us. But I want you to know today, the power of God is awesome. You can change that opinion about God when he does, and you allow him to do it. He'll change your life. Have you ever watched an old movie starring Jimmy Stewart? And it's called Shenandoah. Anybody see that movie? Over the course, a few of you have. It's played out in Virginia during the Civil War. Jimmy Stewart plays this farmer by the name of Charlie Anderson. And he tried to keep hold of his family during the Civil War. And he didn't have much use for God. He's widowed. His deceased wife wanted the children to be raised as Christians. So Stuart, in honor of his wife, decides, you know what, I'll go through the motions. And so Jimmy Stewart plays Charlie Anderson. They pray over each meal, if you will. And he prays over the meal and he says something like this in the movie. He says, Lord, we cleared the land. We plowed it, sowed it, and harvested. We took the harvest. It wouldn't be here and we wouldn't be eating it if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel, but we thank you, Lord, just the same for the food that we're about to eat. Amen. But in the last scene of the movie, Charlie Anderson breaks down and ends his private battle with God. And he's lost several of his children. And he assumes his youngest son, called the boy, has also died in the Civil War. To everyone's surprise, Charlie loads up the remaining family members and goes to attend church. And when Charlie walks into the church, you know, the pastor about has a heart attack. And the preacher is so surprised, he just is standing there stunned. But Charlie stands there without singing. And the back door of the church opens up. And the boy that he thought was dead comes limping in from the war. Charlie embraces his son, and the movie ends with the family singing the doxology. You can't help but cry. God's given to each and every one of us, friends, a measure of potential. If you see God as a loving Father, full of grace and truth, then you'll make it your goal to make your life the most that it can be with the gifts and the resources that he's given you. Zig Ziglar's one of the most enlightening Christians that ever lived. He's gone to his reward, but he said, our potential is God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift to him. You are the only person on earth who can use your ability. Wow. One last idea. Competent stewardship is honored with the master's applause. The worship team will come back. Thanks for sticking with us online and in person. We wanted to introduce the aliens to you. It was right. But I want us to look at this, and I want us to drill down just a little bit before we close. The master commended the two fruitful servants, Jim and John. If you're with me, say amen. He says, well done, good and faithful servants. He says the same thing to both. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now let's go back to Jim, 5 talent, John, 2, and Joe, 1, if we can. Fact of the matter is that Jim says, you know what, master? You gave me 5 talents. You gave me $5 million. I took your money, I built a ferry, and now I've doubled your money. Here it is. I give it back to you. John says, master, you gave me 2 coins, and I bought a goat and sold it for twice what I paid, and I doubled your money. Here's the 2 million more, the 2 talents. And a huge smile breaks out on the master's face. He says, great job, guys. I'm proud of you. You've made me happy. I wanted to share my happiness with you. Then he looks over at Joe and he says, Joe, what about you? And he starts hemming and hawing. I know you're a cruel, hard man. And so I was afraid of displeasing you. So I took that $1 and I put it in the ground. I took that $1 million and hid it in the ground. And you know what? Here it is, all of it. And the master's face is clouded over with disappointment. In essence, the master says, Joe, you expended a lot of time and energy burying that talent in the ground. You could use the same energy to put seeds in a hole instead of my money, or at least you could have taken it to the local bank and got to 0.01 interest, if you will. Don't blame me for being a hard man. Take responsibility for your failure. You're not only wicked, but you're lazy. Give that money to Jim. And get out of here because you're fired. So what's the takeaway truth, right? Well, one thing is that you and I have been given the trust from God. Our time, our treasure, our talents. And we're to use them for the glory of God. Romans chapter 12, if you're taking notes, jot it down in your margin. Romans 12 talks about the gifts, not exclusively, but the gifts that you've been given. And each and every one of us are to use those to build up the body of Christ. Here's the beauty of the Church of Jesus Christ. Rhonda prayed it with our family on the way. Lord, the gifts and the utilization of those gifts. She didn't even know what I was speaking on, the details, but she said, Lord, you've created things for us to do in advance. Help us to be found faithful today. But there's a great little 3-word phrase that's used in verse number 16, right? And I think it gives us insight. It says, the one who had received 5 talents, Jim, went at once. Say, went at once. And put his money to work. In other words, he didn't delay. He immediately got to work, and he kept working until the master returns. And the fact of the matter is, Joe gives us a principle as well. If we don't use it, we lose it. Seriously, I'm called to preach, whether you want to admit that or not. But the fact of the matter, if I didn't preach, that atrophy would set in the spiritual realm, just like a muscle not being used. I wouldn't be utilized as much as I could be if I utilized it on a regular basis. And you and I, on a regular basis, are to utilize those giftings that God has given to us. He gives us a principle, the subtitle today, use it, Joe, or you lose it. It gets taken away. I don't want to stand before the Lord someday, right, and hear those words, you know what, Brad, you made it into heaven, but you know what, I can't give you any responsibility. I can't give you any of my stewardship over a particular kingdom, because the fact of the matter is you didn't utilize what you had on this earth. Each and every one of us, right? You say, well, I want to make it into heaven. You know what? Heaven's great. I want to make heaven. But I want to take as many people with me as I can to heaven. I want to be a part of what God's called us to do. And the fact of the matter is, he's given each and every one of us resources. Time, treasure, talent. And the enemy loves to whisper into your ear, just come and take in. Can I tell you, as we restart over the next several weeks here at Brighton Assembly of God, we need people to assist Mary Demoff in the nursery. We need greeters. We need people to assist Pastor Dante with the children's ministry. We need people on Wednesday nights to help with the kids' ministry. We need people to assist Joy and Dan Green with the Rev student ministry. There's a place of service for you in the body of Christ. And I don't say it unapologetically. I say it unapologetically that we need you. I don't see anywhere. And I'm speaking to every age range. I don't see anywhere in the kingdom of God where there's retirement from working for the glory of God. I love that about my in-laws. You know, here's my father-in-law, you know what, late 70s, early 80s, you know what, still plugging away for Convoy of Hope to feed the poor and the hungry around the world. I love that. God's got giftings that he wants you and I to utilize until we give an account before him. Would you stand with me? And I close with this story about Billy Graham. I did a funeral for a doctor, 56 years old, this past week. Her husband is the chief oncologist for Beaumont Hospital. She was a family practitioner. And I shared about Billy Graham receiving his Congressional Medal of Honor in 1996, highest award that's given by Congress for a U.S. citizen. And Billy Graham received that Congressional Medal of Honor. And my dad was present there as the leader of the Assemblies of God. And he receives this, and he looks out at those congressmen and women, and he says to them, my dad said it was awesome. He said, he looked at those in Congress, and he said, you see all these greats in the halls of Congress here? Look at Washington, his bust. Look at Lincoln, his portrait. Look at Jefferson, his profile. And he said, you know what? All of these have one thing in common. What the thing is that they have in common is they're all dead. And someday so will you be. And you'll have to stand before the Lord. How will you be ready to stand before him? Right after receiving that, he's interviewed, Billy Graham was, by Diane Sawyer. And she asked, what was it like to receive that award today? He said these words, and I'll close. I'm humbled by this award, but the only recognition I'm looking forward to is when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. My greatest reward will be to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm not as gifted as Billy Graham. Very few are. But you know what? I kind of vision myself. Maybe you'd say, some of you would say, Brad, you're overestimating yourself. But there's not a whole lot of five talent people out there. They're awesome to be around, but most of us are just one and two talent people. I'm probably one and a half, somewhere in there. But you know what? I'm still responsible. It doesn't abdicate me from my responsibility just because I'm not a five talent person. I'm still responsible with the talents God's given to me. All of us got to utilize those for the glory of God. Would you sing this with us? In closing, Brighton, I want you to pray and sing the blessing over our lives. And I'm going to just speak a word of prayer over you and just make an invitation in a moment. As we sing this, I want you to just say, Lord, would you take my life and let me be a blessing for your glory? Let me pray. Would you lift your hands unto him? If you're watching online or you're here in person, just say, Lord, utilize me for your glory. Lord, I pray over every saint. I pray over every individual today that you might use them for your namesake and for your glory. Lord, we've been granted time, treasure, talent. Lord, that nobody else can replace us. You have us living today for a purpose, Lord, to glorify you and to advance your kingdom. So take us, Lord, whether we're one talent or two talent people, and if there are some five talent people in here, bless them. But we're responsible, Lord. So I pray we would step up and answer the call that you've placed upon our lives. Your word declares, Paul wrote it to the Corinthians, to him who has been given a trust must prove faithful. May we be found faithful wherever we're at for your glory and for your name.